had planned before all this COVID craziness to have a day of giving next week, and then we're going to have a sort of build up to it, you know, announce it, and then do a sort of little mini sermon series, and that's all gone out the window. But then we thought, well, actually, we'll keep the date of the day of giving, which is next week, and I thought I'd just do a little talk on God's generosity, really, and what it means to be in that river of his generosity. You guys can probably teach me way more than I can teach you, but let's look at the Word together, at the Bible together, and see what's in there a little bit now. So, actually, yeah, that's not correct. So go to the next slide. Just go to the sermon bit, and it'll come up with the first slide for the sermon. Yeah, and so I wanted to start with, you know, every Christmas we read that incredible bit at the beginning of John's Gospel. You know the way John's Gospel starts? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and all things came into being through him, and nothing was created without him, and all of that, right? It's a deliberate echo. John, when he writes that, the Gospel writer of John, is, actually go back though first, is echoing Genesis. So if you go back to the previous slide that you just had, that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, you know, verses 1, you know, the first few verses, are an echo of each other. So in the beginning, Genesis says, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And do you notice here, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, he spoke, let there be light, and there was light. So there's the Word and the Spirit. There's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all there. You know, the Father speaks the Word. The Word is the Son. In the beginning, John says, was the Word. In the beginning, God, in Genesis. In the beginning, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word was with God in the beginning. And so if you flick on to the next one, and through him, all things were made. Through the Word. God spoke. God said, let there be light. And through the Word, through the words of God's mouth, as it were, and this is all obviously, you know, kind of like incredible language, you know, none of us were there. But through the words of God's mouth, everything comes into being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him, all things were created. Makes sense, doesn't it? So John's just echoing Genesis here and saying that, people of God, what's going on in Genesis is God creating through Christ, by the Spirit, all the things that came into being. Everything comes from God. And all good gifts are from our Father of lights, as it says in the epistles. So everything comes through him. And in him was life, and that life was light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this is, I just love the way the Bible starts and the way the Gospel of John starts. It's this generous God, this God who is full of love, this God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not just a kind of monad, just God, you know. And then he's like, I want to love something. So he makes us and makes the world, and then he's, right, now I can be loving towards something because it's just me on my own otherwise. But this is a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love. Before anything's made, God is love. And those words, God is love, are unique in the history of, religion and philosophy and big ideas and all of that kind of thing. No other religion or philosophy or system had those words until the Bible said them, until Christians said them in the New Testament, you know, and the early church said it. God is love. And it was John, wasn't it, in John's epistles that says God is love. And it's twice in John's epistle. People had talked about God being loving towards the things he had made. But being love was new. God is love. And God is love. If he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God doesn't need to make something in order to love, because God's already loving. And then his overflowing generosity and love so loving, so full of love, that he freely makes something. He doesn't need to make us to have something to love, because he's already love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit already loving one another eternally. But this love is so good, God's like, I'm going to make something, and I'm going to share this love with them and invite them into my love. And that's what God is all about. That's why he created you and me, is to join in with this wonderful, loving Godhood that there is. All right? You all right with that? It's big stuff, isn't it? Yeah. But there's a... Paul says in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How big is that? That's amazing language, isn't it? He has blessed you and me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. All things were made through Christ. You and me were made through Christ. Everything was made through Christ. We are connected to Christ now because we're in his fellowship. We love him. We're part of his body. He feeds us with his word. He feeds us with bread and wine. He feeds us with fellowship, you know. And he's joined us to himself. He's the head. We're the body. We're fingers. And as I said before, I'm a toenail, you know. your ears and hands and all sorts. So this is our generous, generous God. He's blessed us with every blessing in the spiritual places in Christ. And why has he blessed us? Is it just so that we can feel good, you know, so I can be at home going, yay, I'm blessed. Whoopee. there's too much to say, so we'll flick on to the next slide. And the next one. And it's going back to Genesis again. Abraham was called by God. He's like the first human. There's all the human beings that God makes, and then God calls Abraham and his whole family, and then the whole nation that comes from him. He blesses, and then from that nation comes Jesus. And Jesus sums up all of Israel and everything that's gone before. And then we are connected to Christ. And everyone that's connected to Christ is in the blessings of Christ. So it all starts with Abraham, and he says, God says, you know, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. There'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. And in you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Why does God bless us? Yeah, because he loves us, and to be a blessing. Yeah, to be a blessing. He blesses, and you, I mean, we all know this, but it's exciting stuff, and I love it, isn't it? It's good. Sometimes we need to be reminded. That's what we're here for. We've been blessed by God. We have been blessed by God, and he is good, and he is generous and loving kind towards us, but he blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, and that's why he called Abraham, and then the whole people of Israel were supposed to be a blessing to the whole world, not to just keep it to themselves. And then Jesus comes along because the people of Israel messed it up, and Jesus gets it right. And Jesus is the perfect Israelite and the perfect human. And then he invites all Jews and Gentiles into his fellowship so that all can be blessed in him to be a blessing to others. Okay, we'll flick on to the next slide. And the next one, because we won't go into that. And the next one? Yeah. I just thought I'd say something about what Jesus says about... I love this. It's a challenge, but it's incredible. You've heard Jesus says. You've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, which would kind of make sense. But he says, I tell you, I love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because that's what he's like. You know, children should be like the Father, and, you know, in that sense, I don't mean too much, you know, Sam. All the good bits, not the bad bits. But, you know, pray for those who persecute you. You may be children of your Father in heaven, because he causes his Son to rise on both the evil and the good. And he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What's that thing about the umbrella? Do you know that, John? I bet you do. The righteous, there's the just and the unjust, you know, and the umbrella. The rain, it rains on the just and the unjust fella, but particularly on the the just, because the unjust got the just umbrella. Something like that. Anyway. But God's like that. He rains on everyone, the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, and the evil and the good. He is generous. And I think I was brought up in a kind of Christian milieu where some people got this, and some people were like, no, that can't be right. And I got this sort of sense that actually God was grumpy with everyone that did evil and withheld blessings from them and was sort of evil back to them almost, you know, was cursing them and was only good to those that were good. Do you know what I mean? And I can tell as I say that, many of us feel, yeah, but isn't that kind of right? You know? Because there's that sort of flavor that comes through in some of the teaching that we hear, or some of the kind of people we rub company with and that kind of thing. But then there's the people that really understand God's generosity. And when we come across those people, we understand that God reigns on the just and the unjust. He causes his sun to shine on both the good and he loves everyone. Jesus wouldn't say, love your enemies, unless he loved his enemies. Right? Jesus loves his enemies. And that's why Paul says in Romans, it was when we were still enemies, when we were still, you know, on the wrong side, as it were, that God demonstrates his love for us in giving us Jesus, his son. It's, you know, and if God didn't love his enemies, where would I be? Where would you and I be today? Was anyone ever an enemy of God? Maybe you just grew up as a Christian, but yeah, you know. Many of us, myself included, have had times where we are just running in the opposite direction to God and frankly sticking two fingers up at him, if you'll forgive the... Quite realistically, we are literally doing that, aren't we? I mean, not everyone in this building, but some of us are and have been. We've been very angry with God. We've run away and, you know, and we're like, literally, you can do your own thing because I'm going to do my own thing. And do you know what? God loves you when you're like that. God loved me when I was like that. God loved John when he was like that because he put his hand up a moment ago. You know, and God loves you and me and everyone when they're like that. And thank goodness he does. And Jesus died on the cross for exactly that person because he loves that person to bits. He doesn't say, I'm withholding my blessings. It's the opposite. I'm giving everything, including my whole life, that I can win you back because I love you and I'm blessed. If the cross isn't a blessing of love towards people, what is, you know? But that's God's blessing of love towards those people that are running in the opposite direction. So God doesn't have enemies. If someone tries to make themselves an enemy of God, God says, oh, too bad. I love you because I love my enemies. So you're going to be a recipient of my love, whether you like it or not. And right now you probably don't like it, but I don't care because I love you. Anyway, does that make sense? So God's love is generous, and I need to be reminded of that, and I think we all do from time to time. That's why I really love what Pippa's doing, you know, and I can see her grinning away at the back there. you know, in the food bank and things like that, because her whole outlook is generosity, you know. And it's a challenge to me, and it's a wonderful challenge to me, because, like, I totally believe what Pippa's saying and does. And then every now and then I kind of feel like, maybe we should just, you know, check, you know, you've had enough food for this. You know, and Pippa's like, no, if they need it, they need it, you know. And then she'll tell you story after story of people who, they might have looked like they were abusing the system. But Even if they were, who cares? God reigns on the just and the unjust. God shines on the good and the evil. So we just bless and we give. That's how God wins people over, actually. And it's when people say, try it on, and still get given stuff instead of, oh no, you know. That's when people start to feel uncomfortable. That's why Jesus said, if someone asks for your jacket, give him your shirt, give him your cloak as well. You know, if someone asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. If someone, you know, says, do you know what I mean? That's the kind of God. And I really remember time when we were in London, and people did this. They set up on a housing estate, you know, which is a real... We lived on a housing estate, and they're really intense places. There's like barbed wire. There's all sorts of stuff. We actually had every bonfires night. What did they do? They got a trolley from Sainsbury's, which is like Countdown, and they'd bring it into this fenced-off barbed wire basketball court that was in the middle of the tower blocks, and pile it with stuff and set fire to it. They have this bonfire in the shopping trolley. Anyway, so on one of these housing estates, this church that we were part of set up this laundromat, you know, a kind of little laundry for everyone. And short story, people, you know, abused it. They stole stuff from it and all this kind of thing. And the people in the church that ran it hunted down, you know, found out who were the people that had taken the money from the laundromat, and they said to them, do you need anything else? And it blew their minds. They just could not believe that, what's this crazy generosity and love? You know, we thought you were trying to find us to dob us into the police, but you ask us, what else do we need? And that won them over, actually, those particular people. You know, they understood something of the generosity of God through God's people. It's a really wonderful thing. You know, and that's not magic. It's not going to be like every time you bless someone, you know. But you just bless anyway, because God reigns on the just and the unjust, because God is good. So that's actually all I want to say this morning. There's more that I could say, but we want to keep it sort of simple and short. And so as we think about giving, and we're all givers in this church, and I know there's so many generous people, and you can teach me more about generosity than I can teach you, for sure. But we, you and me together, all of us together, and those that can't be with us this morning, we are part of God's generosity towards this world, aren't we? We're in that flow. We are plugged into the God who reigns on the just and the unjust, who is generous, who gives, and who is good. And he has blessed us to be a blessing. And he has blessed us. And if we need a wee bit more blessing because we're, you know, being poured out and we feel like, oh, I just need filling up a bit more, he'll fill us up. And may he fill us up this morning, those of us who need it, because he does bless us so that we can be a blessing to those around us. So may he bless you this morning, and me too, and all those that we hold in our hearts. Amen.